Nomine Patris et Filii, Spiritus Sancti, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Nomine Patris et Filii, Spiritus Sancti, Amen. I ask you to pretend like you're raising your hand for these next four questions, but don't actually do it. Do you want your kids to be Catholic when they're adults? Do you want your grandchildren to be Catholic when they are adults? Do you expect your kids to be Catholic when they are adults? Do you expect your grandchildren to be Catholic when they are adults? If we look at the past three generations of Catholics and the retaining numbers that we have for those who remain Catholic, the numbers are not looking good. Will the next three generations be just as bad? Now, if you in your marriages, if you avoid artificial means in your marriage, you know what I mean by that, you only have a 3% chance of divorce. There was a study done, and they looked at that 3%. Why do those 3% who actually get divorces of Catholics, why do they get one if they're not participating in that sin that we just named? They did a study, and the answer is, they didn't expect to suffer. They didn't expect to suffer. I think part of this is encountering a world that is not Catholic. Now, I've been a priest for 10 years. The first 5 years I was doing the Novus Ordo. These last five I've been doing the traditional Latin Mass. But my roots are pretty charismatic. But there's numbers among the charismatics and the traditionalists where many people leave the Catholic Church in their 20s. As far as the charismatics, I call it Steubenville shock. A lot of people go to Franciscan University of Steubenville, and they leave there, and they stop being Catholic. They have the same, at least in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, they had the same divorce rate as the rest of the nation. At least according to my friend who was on their development team. In the traditional Latin Mass community, you have some immunity to that, but it's not perfect. Look at the stats. Some of the stats are very bad. Now, when I say suffering, I don't necessarily mean physical suffering, because I know those in the Latin Mass world are very good about raising their sons to experience manual labor and physical pain. Of course, the women in the Latin Mass world, they have so many children that there's no way that you can say they are immune to pain with how many children they've had in childbirth. But there's something else that you good Catholics might be missing in preparing your kids for this world. It's encountering a world that is so anti-Catholic. Let's look at church history. Imagine you were raising a family in 13th century France. You had your farm, your neighbors were Catholic. Sure, as Father mentioned, you had some bad people at times in history. Maybe you got in some arguments. But can you imagine raising your family under King Louis IX, the saint? This would be a Catholic environment. I wish I was there. You wish you were there. But let's look at some other times in church history. As you all know, today's the Feast of Lepanto, that great naval battle. Possibly it was the greatest naval battle ever. Geographically, where Lepanto took place, it reflected exactly the two forces of the world at the time. The Empire of Christendom, meaning the Empire of Islam, right in the middle in Greece. Today is obviously the anniversary of it, the 7th of October. And that happened in 1571. Of course, the Pope asked all of Christendom to pray the Rosary, and God granted that win through Our Lady's intercession to an outnumbered group of Christians on the sea. But think about this. If you were a Catholic in the Crusades, how many unbelievers you would have to face. Or in the Roman Empire, imagine raising your family in the Roman Empire, how your kids would have to be able to face all these pagans. Or imagine you were in the early Jesuits. What was it like to encounter all these anti-Catholic cultures? But this is more than a tough guy talk to say, you don't live in these hard times. This is to say this. The Apostle John writes, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's 1 John 3:8, and that's true in any time in history. There have been times in church history where pulling up the drawbridge might work to take care of your family. But I'm going to propose to you tonight, this is not one of those. This is not one of the times you can pull up the drawbridges to keep your family safe. Yes, I'm all for prepping. I'm all for keeping your family from all the outside influences. I don't think anybody, I had a flip phone till I was 36. Nobody needs a smartphone. I'm totally for hunkering down and keeping your family safe. But sometimes we trads, and I include that first person plural, we want to roll the rock in front of the cave and have everyone leave us alone. I get it. I'm one of you in that. I'm very tired of this world. But what if God had us planned now in a time when the only way to get those closest to us to heaven was not to pull up the drawbridge, but to take the offensive, to win others to the kingdom of Jesus and Mary? I'm an ex-paramedic and an ex-EMT. I started as an EMT when I was at Boston College on the East Coast. And my last job as a medic was the Denver Paramedic Division downtown. One of the things you learn in emergency medicine is the body can compensate for a lot of things. Most diseases, many forms of trauma, the wear and tear of life. There's other things the body cannot compensate for. For some reason, our bodies never learn to recover too well from burns. We don't do too well from side trauma. That's why when you get T-boned, it's worse than a head-on collision. Bullets are interesting. I've seen several gunshot wounds. My last call as a Denver paramedic, my last gunshot wound as a Denver paramedic was 4 years before I entered seminary. So almost 18 years ago, since I've been a priest for 10 years. The last gunshot wound I ran was a 16-year-old accidental gunshot wound into his belly. And it missed everything. He did fine. We brought him to Denver Health, and they brought him to surgery, and he lived. Others I saw did not live. The thing with a bullet, it's all about placement. If it misses everything, you're going to be fine. If it hits your head, heart, or aorta, you're going to die. Usually. Just one bullet is enough. Maybe this is why St. Maximilian Kolbe called the miraculous medal his bullet. Not to harm humans, but to harm devils working in our lives. The MI, the Militia Maculata, exists to destroy the works of the devil, especially in the lives of those living as slaves to the devil. Mary crushes the head of Satan. Getting miraculous medals to people can be the beginning of the crushing of Satan in their life. And getting strangers to Jesus and Mary may be necessary to get your own family to heaven. Why? Because your kids will need to see that we Catholics are not intimidated by this world, and that we are not enticed by this world, but that we have mercy on this world. Too many traditionalists come out to the world and then they find all of the glittering gold, and they find not everything that glitters is gold, and do they all make it back? I don't know. The miraculous medal, if it's placed in the right way, it can help destroy death in the life of a pagan recipient. Now, if you say, no, Father David, only the grace of baptism can do that, you are correct. But St. Augustine has something called prevenient grace, which works in the lives of unbelievers. And I believe the miraculous medal, here's one right here, I was giving them out on chains. I believe that one miraculous medal carries such grace. In fact, we know it even works in inanimate objects. There's a story I wasn't able to confirm before coming here, but I had heard from a relatively reliable source, St. Maximilian Kolbe put it on the grounds of a Masonic temple and it burned down within a week. Now, most of us aren't going in with that much power, but go give it a shot. We should get these on every Masonic center in Colorado. But let's talk about what lasts forever. That's not buildings. That's every human soul, every Catholic, every Muslim, every Gothic, of every atheist, of every pagan. Every soul will live forever in either heaven or hell. Do you ever look at a big city of people? Do you ever look out and realize no one will be in purgatory forever? That means 100% of everyone you ever look at in a soccer stadium or a football stadium, 100% will end up ultimately in heaven or hell. There's going to be no fence riders for eternity. Every single person will end up in heaven or hell. For the saved, purgatory will be temporary. For the unsaved, purgatory will not exist for them. And Jesus died for every person on this planet, even those living farthest from him. You give someone a miraculous medal, especially with a chain on it, and it's a seed planted for grace. Like a bullet, it can do a lot of damage against the kingdom we are fighting against, which is the devil's kingdom. The church fathers described Jesus as the sun and Mary as the moon. Of course, that was true back then. But I like how Father mentioned, when we look at the fact that Jesus and Mary do not change, what has changed about our times? Why in the world would St. Louis de Montfort say, these times, Mary would have more power? Does Jesus and Mary change? No, but our times do change. And we have to look at that. What has changed on earth? If you read Matthew 24, it tells about all the things that happen at the end of the world. I'm not saying we're at the end of the world. There are a lot of things in Matthew 24 checked off. But you know what I think the spookiest is? It's not the earthquakes. It's not the fires. You know what I think the spookiest thing is in Matthew 24 at the very end of the world? It says, the charity of many will grow cold. The charity of many will grow cold. Church fathers describe Jesus as the sun and Mary as the moon. Those very far from God, those living in darkness, they can't adjust their eyes to the sun coming out of dark. But those living in darkness, for some reason, you can see the moon and not squint. Those who haven't made it to the light of day can look at the moon and not shriek away in pain of eyes and pain of sight. I don't mean that Mary is greater than Jesus, quite the opposite. Just as one living in darkness can look at the moon long before being able to adjust eyes to the light of day, so also people can handle Mary before they can handle Jesus. See this miraculous medal? I've never given one to a Muslim and been rejected. Every Muslim I've ever given one to has accepted a miraculous medal. Now, I know some of you are thinking, that's Father David's job, not mine as a layman. And I'll admit, there's two things that a lot of Novus Ordo evangelists get wrong. The first is that they expect lay people to do all the evangelization while we priests sit around and play video games or something. The second is that they think ecumenism has some part in saving souls. St. Maximilian Kolbe said, quote, there is no greater enemy of the Immaculata and her knighthood than today's ecumenism, which every knight must not only fight against, but also neutralize through diametrically opposed action and ultimately destroy, end quote. So why did I mention the idea of having you imagine, why did I have you imagine growing up in 12th century France where everything's peaceful versus Lepanto where you might get recruited to go fight the Turks, go fight the Ottoman Empire? Why did I mention that? It's because you don't get to live that life of living on a farm under King Louis IX. For some reason, you were born now. We live in times where the whole world is undergoing a French Revolution, and I hate it as much as you. Perhaps you think as frequently as I do that line of Lord of the Rings when Frodo complained to Gandalf about the hard times he lived in. He said, I wish it need not have happened in my time. So do I, said Gandalf, and so do all who live in, and so do all who live to see such times. That is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. That is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. I think if you look around at the world, Father was exactly right when he mentioned evil has organized better than ever before. We have seen, say, 100 years ago, Russia became communist in 1917, but it took them decades to tackle China, decades to tackle Cuba. Do you realize all seven continents are on this totalitarian lockdown in months? We've never seen this in the history of the world. Never has communism affected seven continents. And yes, I'm sure they have the face masks in their little labs in Antarctica, so I literally mean seven continents. We've never seen that. And the victory of Satan, the success of Satan, is absent. The actual success of Satan is absent, but the apparent success of Satan will be ephemeral. That means short-lived. God and Mary win. Are you going to be on their team? Things may get worse before they get better, but I assure you, The apparent success of Satan is ephemeral, short-lived. God and Mary win. And this final battle will belong to the Milius Immaculate, to those most consecrated to Mary. So what are you going to do with the time given to you? On the D-Day beaches, a few who stormed lived. Those who held back, they all drowned. So also for your families, those who storm the gates of Satan will live. Those who pull up the drawbridge may or may not make it. I don't mean to use fear, but if you don't one day live as an example to your kids to be an outward bound and somewhat public and courageous example about your Catholicism, they stand a good chance at getting crushed by the devil, the flesh, and the world. That is one reason you must learn to evangelize, even if you're not called to be a priest. Not only do other souls depend on it, not only do the souls you are targeting in strangers who you might give it a miraculous medal to depend on it, your own family might depend on it. Not saying it to use fear, I'm just saying they are going to find the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if you've already been an example of countering it, this increases their chances of staying Catholic. Just going to close on a real quick practical thing. When you give out a miraculous medal, the suggestion that I have for you is to remember a simple mnemonic. Polus. P-O-L-U-S. It's Latin for pole. Polus. When you find yourself in an environment or a situation where you could maybe talk about Christ and the Catholic Church, just say a quick prayer. Say a really quick prayer that God's will be done in that situation. That's P, P for polis. O, only one of you talk. If there's two of you, and say someone comes up to you and says, I noticed that you had a rosary around your neck. I used to be Catholic, but I don't like the church's teaching on X, Y, and Z. Don't both of you jump into X, Y, and Z. You'll scare them off. One of you just start praying, and the other one say, tell me why. What was your problem? That leads us to L. L of polis is listen. Just listen to what they have to say. Listen to what they have to say. And then P-O-L-U-S, U is understanding. I'm the first person to speak against ecumenism, but if you hear even the slightest amount of truth in what they say, you can agree with that, and at least say you understand where they're coming from. And S, P-O-L-U-S, S is a seed planted. This is what I say when I give out a miraculous medal. And again, I always make sure it's on a chain because if people put it in their pocket, it might just get lost in the laundry. If you put it on the chain, you can say, Jesus promised a lot of graces through Mary's hands to anybody who wears this. And 99% of the people will take it. I talked about this on social media quite a bit lately. And I had two friends text me, both married men. Neither of these guys were priests. They decided to try it. I think one, I don't know who it was to. Usually I encourage like Uber drivers and waitresses and stuff. But I got two texts just the past, I think it was 7 days. And they both had 100% success rate. They said, I'd like to give you a miraculous medal. I'm sure they were as nervous as I was my first time. Both people took it. You don't have to be an expert. So just say, Jesus promised a lot of graces through Mary's hands for anybody who wears this. 99% of people will take it. And then if you want to add one bonus question onto it, say to them, will you wear it? And probably 97% will say yes. After this talk, I can help you find the links on Amazon for the chains. The chains are 15 cents each. And at Marytown in Chicago, these medals are 30 cents each. I suggest you do have them blessed unless you're going into like a really, really rough environment where people could sacrilege them. I have one friend who goes to really horrible parades in San Francisco, and all the rosaries he gives out are not blessed because he's not sure where they're going to end up. But if you're giving them to normal people, have them blessed. They're very cheap. You can get them in bulk. And I think this is an important part of being part of the MI. Because pulling up the drawbridge in a time like this, when the charity of so many has grown cold, just might not cut it. But if we get that seed planted in people's hearts, if we get that miraculous medal in people's hands, that might just be that little crack in the heart, that tiny touch of prevenient grace that 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, could lead that soul living in darkness to the light of baptism and the glory of our crucified Lord Jesus and the Catholic Church. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.